I have to announce to you that I will never retire.
They think they got the answers. I change the questions.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
Anderson Silva, you absolutely suck.
Welcome to the Crimson Canvas Podcast. Evan Showman here with my man Dion Harrison, our man Dan Rose over there, Dan Adam Rose, Danderlei Silva, Dandelions, Anderson, Dan Rose Silva, whatever you want to call him. He's over, Dan Rosie, some people have been calling him lately. We got a stacked show for you today because so much has gone down this week. I mean, we're gonna go back, and we're gonna start by talking about what happened on Friday night at Bellator, the debacle that was. Then Sunday night, the debacle that the UFC was. Then Fastlane, then Raw, then the Conor McGregor saga that's continuing here. Lots of stuff to talk about. And then, of course, the People versus O.J. Simpson, which is still the worst show on television, and we can't look away. Actually, you know what we should start with talking about, Dion?
What's up?
The loss we took last night.
Oh, man. But you called it a week ago. You said we was going to go up in there and shit the bed, and by golly, we shat the bed.
We shit the bed, Dan. That's it. My retirement game, basketball game, ladies and gentlemen, was a bust. We won every game except for the last one of the season, and then lost, got our asses kicked by a team with no bench that we beat by 30 last time we played them.
I don't know.
You guys are the Buffalo Bills of your league.
We didn't even get to the Super Bowl, Dan. We lost in the fucking first round of the playoffs.
God, you guys are the hard Cincinnati Bengals of your league.
Oh, we're the Bills. That was a good. That was definitely a good analogy right there. We are the Buffalo Bills. I felt like Marv Levy out there. just fired 3 years in a row with this shit.
That's too bad.
Yeah. So Dion and I, and that was my farewell game because I'm done. I'm done with this shit. And I said to Dion beforehand, I don't even want to go. I'm done. Dion, in the middle of the game, snapped. Don't be looking at me like that to our own teammate.
Man, I needed to say something to him because he's this young kid. He's a really good player, but he's just a little too emotional right now. You know, he's 19.
Were you missing shots and chucking it up? And
not at that point.
No, he
trying to be a hero.
He wasn't mad at Dion. He was mad at he's sensitive when you say stuff to him. Like you can tell me, and I'll be like, all right, Dion, shut up. You know, like. Of that, or he'll be like, hey, you playing like shit, and I'll be like, all right. So
I'll never say that. But I'll be like, come on, showman.
He'll look at me and be like, okay, like that, and then I'm like, all right, I know. Yeah, I've been dragging my feet. You know, that's all he needs to do, and I get it. But some people don't respond the same way. Some people don't respond well to that kind of thing, and that happened last night during one of our timeouts. It was... Yeah, Dion, something to the effect of, don't look at me, I will knock the shit out of you.
I told him,
Dion.
I was like, dude, just, because they were sending some really hard picks. I was like, dude, just get through the picks, like, you're not even trying. And he gave me this look, like, he was the most angriest dude I've ever seen in my life.
He looked like Columbine. That's yeah. He looked like the trench coat mafia. Right before shit went down.
And I was like, don't you be looking at me like that.
Yeah, Dion, like, lost it. And I'm just like, and they're like, these guys are so close. They're on the same, like, cyber basketball team as well.
2K.
So
it was one of those things where you just, It was too much and you snapped, but you knew you could snap at him because you're boys.
Yeah, I told him today, I was like, man, you know I'm just trying to get the best out of you. You know, I apologize. I was like, it's all out of love.
And did he say, you know what, Dion, go fuck yourself.
If he, yeah, that would be terrible if he said that. No, he was like, yeah, I mean, I get it. You know, we all learn.
He's young. Yeah. That's all it comes down to. Mm-hmm. It's not like he did anything wrong. And I thought he played really well, actually, after he got it.
Yeah, because, man, he needed that.
All right, well, as much as I love your basketball stories.
Let's talk about what happened on Friday, because that shit, what was that, Dan Rose?
First of all, the most important question of the night, did you go to Evan Shulman's house and watch it?
No, I did not. Because I didn't get off work soon enough.
What time? What? The event was 9 o'clock on the West Coast.
I didn't get home until like 9:30.
Well, you didn't need to go home.
I needed to go home to feed my dog.
You know where Dion works? You know where he works, Dan Rose?
I know he works at the guy's house.
Two blocks from me.
He lives close to Evan.
And that's where the dogs are?
No, my dogs are in Carlsbad.
No, his dogs
like 20
are
minutes.
20 miles.
Your ex's mom couldn't feed the dogs?
She don't know how to feed them right.
See what I'm saying?
What are you talking about, feed them right?
His excuses.
My dogs.
It's my dogs.
You promised, and then you didn't do it, and now
I still watched it.
All right, well, that's, I guess.
So we'll go off of that. How about that?
Okay, we won't beat you up too bad, because at least you watched it.
So first off, we had Melvin Gillard get knocked out.
I think that might be the old swan song for the Gillard.
It's not so much what happened in that fight, Dan. It was Mike Tyson announcing. That was the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Mike Tyson was off his chain.
Did you hear that part, Dion?
No.
You didn't have a volume on?
Well, Lloyd was watching me in the background. I was doing stuff.
Oh, Jesus.
Mike Tyson.
Did you just hear the total exasperation in my voice? I'm like,
oh, my God.
Damn it, Dion.
I'm like Mr. McMahon over there.
Yep. Just disgusted.
Now, Mike Tyson was on the radio. Mike Tyson, look at me when I'm talking to you, all right?
Oh.
Listen, I'm talking to you.
What are you talking about on the radio?
I'm talking to you. No, not you, Dan. You can't look at me unless I had done that.
Why isn't your camera on, by the way?
It's because that computer broke because my son spilled a shake on it.
That shit happens.
Did I say camera? Yeah. Well, the camera on the computer. Mike Tyson starts commentating. He's like, I love Melvin Gillard. He's a great fighter. Would, you know, he can put his hands on him. Starts talking about, like, he's, he was with that one guy, he was like a sumo wrestler. And, you know, that one guy came over the top with the axe handle. He hit him with the axe handle. And you're watching this going, oh, my God, no way. Do you think he was drunk, Dan, or do you think that was, he was just...
I just think he's, like, excited and doesn't know how to act.
Like, he just was so happy. Like, when he called Stone Cold Steve Austin, when he called him Cold Stone,
Steve Austin,
it was like that. It was like, oh, this reminds me of the one day, the one Brazilian that did all the foot stomps back in the day. Yeah. Marco Huas.
He's just a happy dude, man. Can't be hating on him.
And then second round comes, Melvin gets knocked out, and then they show a replay, and he's like, oh, he looks like that with that Daffy Duck. Which way did he go? Which way did he go?
It was pretty glorious.
It was so amazing.
Dude, they should have had Tyson on for the Dana 5000 Kimbo fight.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably the only thing that could have saved it.
Like, this is one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. This is a tragedy. This is a travesty. I can get in there right now. Not beat the brakes off of him. Now, answer me this, Dan.
Okay.
How do you get full mount on someone in 20 seconds, get held, and gas out? It's physically impossible to gas when you're being held in full mount.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell that fight was.
Because Kimbo should have gotten up from that.
Fresh as a daisy.
Fresh as a daisy, while Dada was exhausted from burning his arms out, holding him down in mount. By the way, Only the second time in history John McCarthy's ever stood a fight up from Mount.
Dude, how pissed off was John McCarthy getting throughout that fight?
I would too.
He was just like, God damn it, you guys.
That fight was so bad.
Yeah, but you know what?
Man, it's like, was bad. It was even looking like they were throwing some wrestling punches. Like,
what the hell is Dada 5000 doing cutting 40 pounds? Like in the last week to make weight for the fight.
First off, I don't believe a damn thing his family has been saying. When they,
like what?
They said they brought in a nutritionist for this fight.
I don't know.
A nutritionist is probably like Faison Love or
if they brought in a Faison Love. If they brought in a nutritionist and he still showed up needing to cut 40 pounds to make the heavyweight limit of 265.
No, they said he was only three
start at.
They said that he was only 3 pounds over. Like the day of the fight, like he had lost 40 pounds leading up to the fight. He didn't just cut 40 pounds. He lost 40 leading up to the fight, and he was 3 pounds off. He only cut 3 pounds.
So how did he end up with renal failure and heart failure and all that?
He's lying, man. He didn't have a friggin' what, like he was on the Dolce diet?
Well, I mean, what the hell? They might be exaggerating, but he didn't spend like 2 or 3 days in the hospital just to perpetuate a lie.
No, not that. I'm just saying how he wound up there, it wasn't because he didn't hire a nutritionist. He wasn't in the best shape he's ever been in. They didn't, none of that stuff. I guarantee you he only got paid like $5,000 or something silly.
Oh, no, I bet he made more than that, dude.
All I could say is that they had, at one point, 3.3 million viewers.
That's crazy.
Which, I bet you he made a nice little chunk of change for that fight.
They blew every UFC out of the water. And I say, bravo, Bellator.
I love it.
People don't want to see freak show fights? Okay.
For sure.
I'm pretty sure they did, because the last time a show had higher ratings than any other show, Kimbo was on that one.
Dude, Kimbo Slice brings the ratings.
I don't know why the UFC cut him. Like,
well, because they're short-sighted idiots. They think it's okay to bring James Toney in and do the freak show on that and bring Sean Gannon in. But God forbid you bring in Kimbo Slice or Dada 5000. Or they look down their nose at him for that. But it's like, listen, I don't know how to fucking polish a turd any better than this, but CM Punk is every bit of freak show fight as anyone else.
They said he had like 15 smokers and he lost 14.
Yeah, that's, I don't know how to, well, I personally don't feel that CM Punk will ever see the inside of a cage, but that's fine.
But the point, I think the point you're trying to make is, Dan, and it's right on, is that, you know, yeah, Bellator had freak show fights, but they had 3.3 million viewers.
Exactly. Like, the UFC has freak show fights, too. They're just freak show celebrities. They're a little bit more well-known than the Bellator
freak show. Why would they let Kimbo go after one loss? Which was, they were like, yo, I wish him luck and blah, blah, blah. Like, you're all about ratings. You're all about money.
I don't think Dana liked them.
You're all about money and ratings. Why would you let the biggest draw, arguably the biggest draw in MMA, why would you let him go?
I don't know, but when Bellator / Rizin do a fight with Fedor and Kimbo Slice, the ratings are going to be unbelievable.
Well, Kimbo, isn't Fedor's fighting Tito, right?
I have not heard that.
Yeah, Fedor's fighting Tito.
I thought he was fighting Wanderlei Silva.
Who?
Fedor.
Wanderlei is fighting Phil Baroni.
What the fuck?
Damn, Ben, you way off.
I am way off. The last thing I saw, Rizin put out a poster with Wanderlei and Fedor on it. I did not know any of this other stuff.
I only say that because Phil Baroni posted today that they're trying to get a fight with him. So
interesting. Well, I guess we'll see how it all pans out. Either one of those, I'll watch any combination of those fighters fight.
Yeah, sure. And then
it's going to be entertaining.
And then let's move on from the Dada 5000 and Kimbo to
Kenny.
If Ken had the reaction when he got hit in the nuts that he had when Hoist missed his nuts, yeah, it'd probably be a no contest. But he reacted so slowly, And I go back to the Eddie Murphy routine. I think it was either Delirious or Raw, when he's like talking about getting hit in the nuts, and he's like, did that just hit my nut?
Oh, there it is. It already takes a few, like...
Sometimes if you get grazed on the nut, it takes a second to register.
But it's like... First off, this isn't the first time weird shit has surrounded Ken Shamrock in the cage.
I know.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And plus, it sucks that happened, that he got hit in the balls and it didn't get recognized and all that. But his post-fight reaction to it was like a 10-year-old throwing a fucking shit fit because his mom said he couldn't get Skittles.
Well, that's pretty cool if you ask me. He was like,
you did it on purpose!
You did it on purpose!
It was you!
Ruined it!
Yeah.
He just...
I mean, they can run it back. Just have another fight. The ratings will bear it out. Bring them back. Run them back.
I agree. I don't know if they do. You know, Hoist is 49, right? Ken,
who gives a shit?
Ken's 52. I don't give a shit. They don't give a
shit.
And
what's up with Hoist not wrapping his hands?
That I've never seen before.
I didn't know the commission would allow such shenanigans.
You have to...
My dad wear gloves?
Under your gloves. You're supposed to... You get your hands wrapped.
Yeah.
Now, Hoist's hands weren't wrapped. And I have no idea how that... Where was it? Was it in California?
It was in Houston.
It was in Houston. Well, then there's that.
Yeah, I don't know. But it was a weird night, but it was a good night for Bellator ratings-wise.
I thought so. Like, I needed a shower afterwards, you know, because... I'm not going to deny it. It was horrible. But, I mean, like, from Tyson to the... Sada 5000 Kimbo to this nutshot to the after yelling at him, and yeah, it was like, what the friggin' hell is going on here?
And
it was my kind of bad.
But it ended,
though.
And I was like, I watched it.
Yeah,
that's cool.
And a lot of people talked about it on social media, Facebook and Twitter blew up on that fight.
People know who Hoist Gracie, Ken Shamrock, Kimbo Slice are. People are gonna tune in.
Now we know who Dada 5000 is.
A lot of people are talking about, I mean, Dada 5000's family keeps giving, like, they keep issuing statements, you know?
Yeah, I don't know about all of what they've said. It's like...
They weren't fond of what Joe Rogan said, that it was racist. I didn't think it was racist. Whatever. Anyway, the bottom line is, he's fine.
Is he fine?
Oh, yeah. You didn't hear that. There was another report.
Well, he was told he had a cardiac arrest.
He died, apparently.
He died. Came back to life. Now he's 100%.
And it was like, oh, my love, my darling. Like, he was a ghost. He was out. And then he came back.
He saw baby Jesus. And baby
like,
Jesus said,
5,000 is back.
And, we're not ready for you yet, Dada.
And they issued
go
another
back.
Statement. His family issued another statement saying, even nurses were saying it was a miracle. It was a, they had all kinds of words for whatever. So he's fine. People are like, I heard he was on a respirator. No, he wasn't. He just was like, you know that scene in Saturday Night
he
Live?
He was fucking overtired.
The scene in Saturday Night Live where the Bears, those guys,
yeah.
Chris Farley or whoever was choking on like a lamb's thigh or whatever it was. He died. They gave him a Heimlich, and he was back. It's kind of what happened with the fear. Dada 5000. Anyway...
Please don't refer to him as
Jeff. It doesn't matter. We're not going to hear from him again. He's not fighting for them again. Scott Coker.
How do you know?
Scott Coker already said he's not fighting for them again.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's fucking shitty.
It was a one-off.
Bring him back.
Done. Now, Justin Wren is supposed to fight Kimbo next.
That's not a good fight. I don't want to see that fight.
Wren should smoke him.
Well, yeah, but... Never mind. This isn't going to go well if we have this conversation.
Okay, well, anyway, so we'll move on to...
I like Justin Wren. I thought it was shitty that he was on the undercard, just saying that.
Absolutely. He should have totally... There's so much good marketing that you could put behind that guy, and they're not... I don't know. Whatever.
I don't love his fight style, necessarily, though.
It's... Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're moving on. Then we go, the next night was Saturday night. What was Saturday night?
UFC?
Cowboy versus... No, that was Sunday. Saturday was nothing.
Saturday was nice. No.
Saturday we had the day off.
Saturday God rested. Sunday he was busy again, putting out all these... pay-per-views, fights, too much stuff.
It was too
By
much.
The way, Michael Cervello totally spoiled the whole Bellator card. As I avoid the internet to avoid spoilers. And
I thought that was not cool.
And I'm watching RFA, and he's like, just got word that Hoist Gracie has beaten. And I'm like, this, you seriously just did that?
Did he really?
Yeah. Like you,
totally fucking WCW'd him.
He freaking Eric Bischoff'd him.
That's awesome.
He straight up went heel. I tweeted at him like, are you serious right now? Like, dude, you're running a program concurrent with this other one, and you're going to throw a spoiler out there?
Not everybody, you
never thought that people might not be fucking wanting to have that information fed to them?
If we're watching your show, odds are we're taping the other one.
Yeah, it was not cool. Not a big fan of doing that.
No. So I was a little upset with that. Okay, anyway. So then Saturday night rolls around. Nothing. Everyone was resting. Sunday comes. We got the UFC. Mario Yamasaki was at it again. Cowboys fight against Cowboy. He missed the tap. He was looking right at him. He missed the tap. Cowboy had to tell him, hey, he's tapping. And then he was like, oh, okay, we should stop this then. Cody Garbrandt's fight, he freaking knocks this dude down, goes in for the kill. Yamasaki runs in front of him.
Yeah, but doesn't stop it,
Mike. He runs in front of him to look, but doesn't stop it. Horrible, horrible, horrible reffing. It was just a bad, bad weekend for judging and commissions, and the wrong scores were being called and said in that fight. People, I think during the girl fight, I think the last fight on the on Fight Pass, it was Mary and Renault.
Yeah.
They were watching the wrong girl.
And then one of the scorecards added up to 29, but it was announced, I mean, it's 28, but they announced it as 27 because the judge actually added it wrong.
The judge added it wrong, and then the one dude, who was it? Someone lost a fight, but they gave him the nod. I don't know. I think that might have been an RFA, where the absolute wrong guy won.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
all a blur ridiculous. At this point. Seriously, it's a total blur. It was bad, bad, bad.
That being said, Donald Cerrone's submission victory over Alex Oliveira was amazing.
It was great. I mean, I love it. He's done that a few times, where he gets full mount and immediately goes to the triangle, rolls him over, done.
Yeah, what a setup. I mean, I would say Cowboy, but they're both Cowboy. Oliveira literally had no idea what was happening to him.
None.
It was just set up so quickly and so perfectly. He literally had no idea he was in harm's way until he was tapping repeatedly because Mario couldn't fucking see it, apparently.
Yeah.
He had to wait for Cerrone to literally point it out to him.
Yeah. That was terrible. That was terrible. I don't know how you could screw that up. But, like I said, that is kind of what Yamasaki does. And eventually, these guys are going to have to be, someone's going to have to be held accountable for this. Like, if you suck that bad, like, it's time to let it go. You know what I mean?
And it's not like it's just sucking at your job. It's just like, oh, whatever, had a bad night. You're in charge of fucking fighter safety in there.
Yeah.
I mean, your poor night can result in, you know, a fighter's career being lost, you know?
Career being lost, or
or worse, obviously. And it's like, it's not acceptable just to continuously have bad nights and be like, oh, well, you know, it was an off night.
Every night's an off night. And what's scary about Yamasaki is his brother's even worse.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, like that.
It's not a good deal. And it's not often that I, like, transfer over to the Evan Showman way of thinking, but I will say this. After years of being a Kawajiri Crusher fan, I can now say definitively, I do not care if I ever see him fight again.
Wow.
I win.
He is a blanket.
I don't know why everyone is defending him for so long. our girl Crooklyn over there, Bloody Elbow, she was like, she loved Kawajiri. And I'm just like, after he lost, I'm like, how could you like this guy? That was, I made a tweet. I said, ice cream or watch Kawajiri fight, try to impregnate Dennis Bermudez's leg. Ice cream it is. That was just posturing. Of course I watched the fight, and it was abysmal. It was abysmal. All he tries to do is lay on him, and I'm so glad he lost. It was great.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I've always kind of been like, what the hell is Evan's problem with Kawajiri? You know, and then it's like you watch it, and it's like, well, yeah. Because you go back to, like, the dream days, and he was active. I mean, he'd win by submission. He'd win by submission. He had, like, 4 or 5 consecutive fights where he won by submission or TKO. And now, like, his last, like, 6 fights have all been decision, or his last 4 fights have all been decision. And they're horrendous to watch.
Yep.
So it's like, yeah, I'm done with Kawajiri. Sorry, buddy. Loved you in Pride. Pride never die. But you have officially become a blanket with a bad hairdo, and I can't get with that. So
you see my post when I said what it looked like Bermuda's handling Kawajiri.
Yeah,
and I posted a picture of a woman flapping a blanket in a field.
You did? That's funny.
Well, here's my picture of Kawajiri getting handled by Dennis Bermudez, and she's flapping a blanket in a field because. That's all he does. He just wants to go for a takedown and lay on you. In the first round, I think he won, right? Because he just laid on Dennis Bermudez?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then, yeah, I guess that's a good segue to our next one. Fastlane. Woo! Fastlane. Hey.
Fastlane.
Definitely like Kevin Owens' match.
That was, and then the last match, and that was it.
Damn it. Everything in between.
That was a really good match between Dolph and Kevin Owens.
It was a great match.
I forget how good Dolph Ziggler is because he's just...
Because they just...
Shit on him.
He's just filler.
Yeah. But
he is talented, though,
so
man.
So freaking good. The way he was selling his shoulder throughout the match and just... He just makes every move look like they're, like, so, like, powerful the way he takes it. He just makes it seem like it's real. Like, how Bret Hart used to be back in the day. Because Bret Hart was selling ass with him like nobody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't love the Wyatt family losing.
What the fuck was that? Even I was like, oh, that's dumb.
Yeah, it's not smart.
So these guys, they're losing to those guys, huh?
Really? Make them look strong, please?
Big Show, Kane, and Ryback, that's who you got. That's who you got together?
Damn it.
Okay. And then, okay.
We're just going to skip the tag team match?
Before, who really cares? let's get out of there and put it out there. Before Roman, Ambrose, and who'd you think?
You thought Lesnar was going to win?
Who'd you guys think was going to win?
Roman Reigns.
Did you really?
I thought Lesnar was going to win.
I thought Lesnar also.
I knew that. But you know they're going to make fucking... It's been Roman Reigns versus Triple H for a long time. Because it wouldn't make sense to have Roman Reigns beat the shit out of Triple H. Triple H to come back and take the WWE World Heavyweight Championship from him at the Rumble, it makes more sense storyline-wise to keep it going.
Brock Lesnar... Go ahead, Evan, sorry.
They're not going along with the blueprint these days of, like, good decisions. I mean,
that's true.
Let's go back to the Royal Rumble last year with Daniel Bryan getting eliminated.
Early.
And that's why I thought, oh, yeah, it's got to be Brock Lesnar, because...
I thought that Brock Lesnar was going to win... And then somehow between now and WrestleMania, somebody would take the belt off Triple H. And then that person would face Brock Lesnar for the world title. And Reigns and Ambrose would wrestle each other at WrestleMania after one of them turned heel. That's kind of what I was thinking going into it.
I had a feeling that Dean Ambrose was going to win. Why would they make him lose the Intercontinental Championship before?
Because he's getting the Ziggler treatment.
Yeah.
Well, I think also because...
He's not a main event guy.
He is. He's the most over...
I'm sorry, he's not a main event guy.
I'll tell you why they had him drop the belt, in my opinion, is because they knew that they were going to have him wrestling Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, and Brock Lesnar's probably going to go over in that match, and they didn't want to make him the champion. They didn't want to put the IC title on
be dumb.
Brock Lesnar. You know, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
But I'm excited for... Dean Ambrose versus Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar's going to whoop his ass, but Dean Ambrose doesn't quit, man. I like Dean Ambrose now. He's crazy.
Stop saying you like
him. He's crazy. I like Dean Ambrose now.
You like him getting his ass whipped by
Brock Lesnar.
That's all you like about him. I agree. I love Dean Ambrose in that capacity, too.
Can you imagine how mad it's going to suck when Dean Ambrose beats Brock Lesnar?
They're not going to have him beat him.
He's going to come close, though.
I bet he beats him.
No.
Oh, wait, it's a no-holds bar, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that there.
No, he can't.
He's going to get suplexed.
Brock Lesnar can't lose. He beat the streak. He's never losing again.
He just lost.
He didn't get pinned.
Yeah, but he didn't win the match.
He's never going to.
You ain't first, you're last.
That's stupid, Ricky. You can be second, you can be third. That makes no sense. I love that part.
But I thought that triple threat match was pretty fun.
So did I. I thought they did a good job with it.
You can't go wrong with Brock Lesnar in anything.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I said it before, I'll say it again. He deserves to be in professional wrestling. That's where he belongs. He belongs in professional wrestling, and he deserves whatever they're paying him.
Yeah.
Because I watched Brock Lesnar, and I'm like, he totally went off script every time.
He just does his...
And never has to cut a promo.
That's the best part.
He shows up, wreaks havoc, picks up a fat check, and goes on about living his life.
But when he comes, he's just like a F5 tornado just coming through with his whole arena just messing up everything. It's so awesome.
You sound like Paul Heyman right now.
Yeah.
There is an F5!
Yeah. Paul Heyman got me amped. I was like, yeah, Paul, tell me more, please.
Tell me more, Paul. What's going to happen, Paul? Yeah. Tell me more about Brock, Paul. And then, Monday Night Raw.
Were you shocked that the way that they had...
Here comes money!
That was
so psyched, dude.
Crazy.
Geeked the fuck out.
I love it.
Dude. You know what happened is that I got.
I know. I was.
I got DirecTV, right?
Yep.
So now it's on at 5 o'clock, and I'm used to having my Raw taped at 8 o'clock, out west Pacific time.
Yeah.
So then it was like 5:15. I was like, oh shit, I forgot. Like it's,
lucky motherfucker.
It's not on at 8, it's on at 5. I got to record this thing. And so I turn the TV on. I'm scrambling to find a channel because I just got DirecTV this week. And Shane's on the TV, and I was like, what?
Dude, the fans went medieval. They loved him.
They should.
They was chanting, holy shit, and this is awesome, before he even said a word.
Commercial break, he came back out. Thank the fans.
That was dope. That was so dope.
I love Shane, dude.
So I wonder if this is going to be, if he's actually coming back, or if he's, isn't he in like the oil drilling business or something like that?
I don't know. I heard a little bit of a spoiler, if you guys want to hear it.
About the
John Cena?
The brand split?
Yeah, about the brands.
They're going to split them again. I'm wrong.
Which leads you to believe that Shane McMahon has control of Raw and Triple H. What I heard was, well, I didn't hear it, I read it. Shane McMahon's going to end up in control of Raw, and Triple H and Stephanie get SmackDown, and they're going to start bringing NXT stars up to SmackDown, and they're going to have like a SmackDown versus Raw deal.
Like at the pay-per-views?
Yeah.
Well, who's going to want...
They need to make Raw 2 hours.
Hold on. They're going to make... Because I didn't... Once they did that draft thing, they did the race draft that first time, I was out.
Yeah.
That's when I stopped watching wrestling.
Exactly.
Because I'm like, so I got to watch it Monday, and then I got to watch it pre-recorded Thursday, and these people might be on that show, and these people might be on that show. I was like...
I don't know how they're going to do it, or even if it's true.
You're going to be on one
it's,
show.
The reason that the speculation is because the information, like, for live shows down the road, they provide, like, a synopsis of what to expect at that live show so they can sell tickets. And one of the venues after WrestleMania, the synopsis said, the WWE brand versus the WWE brand face off, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So that led people to believe that the WWE brand had split and that Shane was controlling one and Triple H the other.
But they still could both be on Raw.
Yeah.
Well,
that was the best part about Raw was just Shane McMahon coming out and then Brock and
what did you text me? Do you remember what you text me? What'd you text me, Dion?
Let me look at it.
I can tell you right now. We like surprises.
Yeah. Yeah, you man, like you said.
I say it every
Thanks
week.
You texted me, Dion, you bastard.
It said, we like surprises, and F. Dan Rose. All right.
All right, that's fair. I see how it is.
I will never say that.
But
all right.
This is,
no, that's fine.
This is the thing. I say it every week on this show, on the Crimson Cannons podcast. We like surprises.
Yeah, we just want to be surprised.
And that was,
we just want to be surprised.
Just want to be surprised. Shane came out. Guess what? Surprise me.
Surprise
me. Everybody was trending number one worldwide, which means people tuned in.
Yeah.
Someone picked the phone up.
Dude, did you see the ratings for the show?
Oh, no. How were they?
They was like tripled what they were the previous week.
Of course they were.
So obviously, as soon as he came on, people started calling their buddies. Like, turn on Raw.
The internet blew up again. When some shit goes down, the internet lets you know.
It's going to, yeah. And you know what? If you do it consistently, people will just tune in.
Mm-hmm.
And like every week.
Like how it used to be.
Let's see what they're going to do this time. Linda. Oh, my God. They would go nuts if Linda came out.
Yep. Man, I just wonder how this is going to work now, though, at Hell in a Cell. My hope is that Undertaker throws it
so
to screw Vince and retires.
You didn't watch Raw. They said that Shane McMahon has to fight The Undertaker in a Hell in a Cell match for control of Monday Night Raw. You don't think Shane's going to fight The Undertaker, Dan?
No, I do. I mean, my guess is that Shane will end up with control of Raw, but I don't know how they'll do that because the idea of just putting Shane over The Undertaker at WrestleMania kind of buries The Undertaker.
Maybe he gets somebody
There's
to fight
no
for
way
him.
He's beating The Undertaker. He's going to throw Shane all over the place, and it's going to be great.
What if he makes a phone call to my man, 15-time world heavyweight champion,
well,
who got
he
got ponytail slapped by some bitch?
I saw that ponytail slap. No respect at all. That NASCAR bitch got to get her shit together.
That was great. That was the best thing I've ever tagged.
I felt bad for Cena.
Cena was so... He's a movie star.
Yeah,
he's not even a wrestler. He's a movie star. And she just...
He doesn't deserve that.
She had no shits about him at all.
He's got a family, damn it!
He's got a family.
That would be cool if Cena fought The Undertaker in Hell in a Cell.
Yeah. Well, is there any... When's he supposed to come back?
And then, like... few months, but Super Cena.
He's kind of been teasing it a little bit.
You saw his Instagram? Put a picture of The Undertaker on his Instagram.
Yeah, he also put a picture of CM Punk's Twitter avatar. Did anybody else notice that? You know, on Twitter, CM Punk uses the name Coach, and the picture is Paul Newman from the movie Slapshot.
Mm-hmm.
John Cena posted that picture on his Instagram the other day.
CM Punk is coming back. The only way.
I don't know how he can. He's under contract with the UFC.
Maybe he's like, I can't do this.
Yeah, I'm scared.
Vince, I saw this shit's too real.
Vince. Dana.
No, he's telling Vince it's too real. He needs to come back.
You never know.
I
can't do this.
Did you hear Vince drop that F-bomb?
What did he say?
Yeah, Vince is senile, man.
He's like, you want to fucking beat him?
Dude, right. I was like, first of the week before, he gave someone the finger before they went to commercial. He's like, well, fuck you.
Isn't he like the guy who says everything's PG?
Yeah.
That's what I said to Dan. I'm like, how is this a PG era when he's sitting there like, what the fuck, I'm beating? And then at the end of the show, Roman Reigns is bleeding his ass off. And
dude,
Dan says it was a packet.
It was.
It was a
blood capsule.
He said it was a blood packet.
Yeah, well, same shit.
Same thing.
That's why you see Roman Reigns' hand
on your face. Yeah, that's what I said.
Because Byron Saxton gave it to
him. Red.
There's a video on the internet, like, that Byron Saxton handed him something, and then he does his thing. And his hands were, like, so red and bright red, too. But that...
Even afterwards, in the locker room, they showed that picture of him sitting there. His hand is still, like, stained red.
Dude, that, I don't care if it was real or not, but that shit looked awesome.
Yeah. So why, if it's a PG era, why they do that?
Make their feud look a little bit more intense.
Well, I mean, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to know, I think they knew they were going to do it, and that's why Triple H came out with his fists taped up to his elbows. So the blood would, stick to the tape, and when he raised his arms at the end with the belt, It was like his wrists and fists and everything were all covered in blood.
Yes, they were.
Okay, that I can never forget that because
I think it was calculated and well.
I watched it before Dion for once.
I know, motherfucker.
So did I.
You see the end of Raw? I was like, no.
Now that I know that Evan sees it at the same time I do, I can tweet him or text him.
Easy. I still not gonna watch it live ever.
It'll be a long 3 hours. But
I'm a sissy because I don't want to watch Tostitos commercials.
Yeah, I hate commercials.
And replays of a match that just happened between Titus O'Neil and Adam Rose.
Yikes.
Yes.
Let me
exactly
tell you something, Heathy baby.
I thought Raw was pretty dope.
Raw was good. It was a solid.
But when it starts that good and finishes that good, you kind of
forget all the crap that was in the middle.
Yeah, yeah, you forget the middle.
They had a lot of long matches for once.
Did you notice they stopped calling Tamina Snuka Tamina? They stopped calling him Tamina.
He's just Tamina.
She's just Tamina now.
I don't blame him.
Her dad's a murdering bastard.
Dude. Dad's a murderer.
You heard the? Have we talked about that whole story?
What?
What he did back in like it was 83 then? He like killed his girlfriend.
Yeah.
But he said it was like an accident.
I don't know, brother.
It was an accident, but he didn't get caught till 2012.
Brother. Alright, hey, so let's move on from the WWE.
Oh, I'm out today. Press conference, Chief.
Oh, no, yesterday, or Tuesday, not yesterday, because today's Friday, right?
Today's Wednesday.
Today's Friday.
Oh, today is Friday.
Or possibly Monday, depending on what happens to Dan on Friday.
Dude, last week the show was up on Friday by 8 a.m.
It was.
So you guys can suck it.
All right. Well, it's because we made it easy.
But you didn't make shit easy.
I didn't make shit easy.
Now listen.
What a dick.
Hold on, let me just look that up on the internet, Dion.
I left that in the show for you. By the way.
Don't listen to him, Dan. Don't listen to him. You the man, Dan. Don't fucking let him
don't
tell you
laughing
any different.
Don't be laughing.
Stop being so funny then. God damn it. It's not fair.
So Tuesday, Rafael Dos Anjos breaks his foot. Oh no, what is going to happen? On Wednesday, it's announced, or Tuesday night, it's announced, Nate Diaz will step in and fight Conor McGregor. At 170 pounds. Okay. That's what I'm talking about. Now, let me tell you something, people. Listen to this. For one, it's a more interesting fight. Okay? Not a lot of people really cared about the whole Dos Anjos-McGregor thing. They just cared that McGregor was fighting a weight class above for a belt. Can we agree on that?
Yeah, I can live with that.
Okay. I wouldn't have mind Pettis. I wouldn't have mind Cowboy. Nate's great. Here's the one thing I don't like. They had that press conference. He's like, you were the fattest, skinny guy I've ever seen. And, you know, two fights ago, Connor picked his opponent. It could have been Cowboy, who we know is in fight shape because he fought last week. He fought a few days ago.
Yes.
They didn't land on Cerrone. Okay, they landed on Nate Diaz, who is completely out of shape. And maybe not completely out of shape. I don't know. But he wasn't training for a fight.
Yeah.
He had no fight camp whatsoever.
And they fight this weekend?
And, Connor's like, I'm
next weekend.
The best, I'm the greatest, I'm all about money, I'll beat everybody, I'll fuck everybody up, blah, blah, blah. Why didn't we land on Cerrone then?
Because the UFC doesn't want to risk that.
UFC made Frankie Edgar look bad.
Yeah, the UFC totally shit on Edgar, and I think that's way wrong.
And they shit on Aldo.
Yeah, that was stupid, too. I mean, I don't know. You know what? I'm with Frankie Edgar now. I like that he said that the C in UFC stands for Connor. He just basically runs the show now, and they all basically adhere to it. There's absolutely no reason that Nate Diaz should have got that fight at 170 over
Cerrone
Cowboy.
At 155, because Cerrone was like 173 on Monday.
Yeah, it's 100% a way to keep future fights alive and open for Conor. The educated play is that Conor beats Diaz, whereas he would have a tougher time with Cerrone. And, you know, it's...
In all fairness, it's not his fault everybody keeps getting injured.
No, but it is the UFC's fault who they replace his fights with.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yep.
And, I mean, let's be honest. Is Nate Diaz going to be entertaining and sell the fight going into the fight? Yeah,
that's,
for sure.
That's why he got the fight.
The press conference today was, you know...
Dion, do you know how many people listened to that press conference today?
It was a lot of people, I bet.
A quarter of a million people.
Hell yeah.
Almost 250,000 people just watched the press conference. I bet you it's gotten over a million views by now, whoever's posted it. Guaranteed. And it was a press conference.
I mean, I don't know. The fight kind of doesn't do anything for me. I think that the pre-fight hype and all that stuff will be better than the fight itself. I don't think Nate Diaz really brings much to the table that's going to worry Conor McGregor. Everything that Nate Diaz does, Conor McGregor, I think, might do a little bit better, with the exception, possibly, of jiu-jitsu. But Nate's so stubborn with his hands, I don't think he'll ever look to take the fight to the ground. I think he'll just get peppered standing, and he'll be lucky to get out of the first round. I mean, Nate's what, 3-5? Or 2-3 in his last five?
Nate doesn't get finished. When he did get finished, it was by Josh Thompson, and that was brutality. And he still didn't get knocked out.
Yeah, he seemed like a tough motherfucker.
He is a tough motherfucker.
I think he gets finished here.
I have no idea. This is the thing. It just, and I tweeted that today, it really just depends on the shape that he's in. If he's in shit shape, yeah, of course it's not going to go well. But if he's in the shape that he was in when he fought Michael Johnson, Diaz is going to have a real tough time. Would you think?
Diaz is going to have a tough time?
I mean, Conor is going to have a tough time. But I don't think that Diaz is in that kind of shape.
We'll see what happens. I would much rather had seen Donald Cerrone. I just think that Nate's going to get just, like, picked apart big time. And he'll eventually get beat, and I think it'll happen earlier rather than later. I mean, he can't be in great shape. He wasn't training for a fight. He wasn't even currently talking to the UFC about a fight. You know what I mean? He's got 2 weeks, not even two full weeks. 10 days until the fight.
Yeah, I'm assuming he was probably about 185.
Conor was saying that they offered it to him at 160, and he said he couldn't do that. And they offered him to it at 165. He said he didn't think he could do that. And then Conor just said, oh, we'll just take it at 170, and they did. But who knows, Diaz says that's not necessarily the case, but it sounded, when Conor was saying it, like that was probably what happened.
Yeah, he talks a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, he never stops talking. So take everything he says with a grain of salt. You know what I mean? Like, he never shuts the fuck out.
Well, Nate's not exactly known for being, you know, a deep thinker and a, you know.
Well, this isn't a spelling bee.
No, it's a good thing.
Nate, what's your game plan? I'm going to fight. I'm going to fuck you up.
He's like, yeah, I'm going to kill or be killed. It's like, oh.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
I don't know, whatever.
No, I didn't like that because I was like, wait a minute. You're going to kill or be killed? Like, about I'm going to kill and that's pretty much the end of it? Like, no?
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of
the end? I'm going to win or I'm going to lose.
Isn't that the attitude we want, is someone that just wants to, like, I'm going to go in, I'm going to be a savage? Did anyone ask questions about that? No. Way to go, MMA media.
Yeah, way to.
What are you
going to
do with all of this newfound money, Nate?
Probably buy some fucking nice shit. That's what he said.
Did you hear him ask the question to Conor? Does this fight preparation become funner now with someone like Diaz? It's like, did you really just say funner, you fucker?
Funner.
Funner.
That's what he said. He asked him. He's an MMA media member, stepped up to the mic and said, does this fight prep now become more funner?
You have to know going into that. That's not a good question at all.
A credentialed, by the way. A credentialed MMA media.
Yeah, it's good.
Will this be funner?
It's going to be funner now, son.
Ooh, yeah, now it's going to be funner. In the summer. Get it? Because it rhymes.
Yeah, that's great, Evan.
It's MMA media. They're just the worst.
But it's the biggest story in MMA right now, obviously. Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz.
Do you see how much more people care about that than Dos Anjos? I mean, it might not do anything for you, but again, as I always say, Dan, the UFC isn't directed at you. It's directed at Dion.
It is. You're 100% right. I agree with you.
It's directed at the guys that don't watch it
religiously.
But, oh, shit, that Diaz is talking to that crazy Irish guy? Yep. Awesome.
You know, all the fans there were, like, going crazy for Conor. And Diaz is like, this is America. It's like, oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I thought this was America.
And everybody's on steroids, apparently.
Ooh, everybody's
on steroids. Oh, wow. Conor got fucking pissed about
that. Hey, I'm not on steroids, buddy.
You see how big Conor looked? Like, he's like, you're on steroids. They're like, could you please elaborate on that? Yeah, everyone's on steroids. I'm not on steroids. You're on steroids. He fought at 145. Now he's going to fight at 170, and he's shredded and big.
Am I
saying he's on steroids? No. Could you, if you're Nate Diaz, is this something that you would say? Yeah.
Well, maybe not if members of your team have been popped for steroids.
Whatever, it's not him.
It's not him. They don't get popped for steroids. They get popped for what?
Smoking weed.
Smoking weed. There's no way Nate Diaz comes out of this fight.
You can tell he smokes weed. Look at him.
He probably smoked right before the press
Hell
conference.
Hell yeah, that's why he was so relaxed.
He's like, when's the last time I'm going to smoke weed? And you guys aren't going to care. Right now. All right, I'm going to go smoke a bowl. That's exactly how it probably went down. So, whatever. We got a fight this weekend that no one's talking about because of that. That's how you know it's a big fight.
I'm kind of bummed that the fight this weekend is on Fight Pass.
Why? You got Fight Pass.
I know, but it deserves to be on Fox Sports 1, man. It's Anderson Silva. Show that man some respect.
It is respect. It's the main event.
It's not respect.
Against
Fight Pass is fucking janky as shit.
And it's against Bisping. I mean, my head is telling me Bisping might win this fight.
My head is telling me Bisping is going to get flatlined.
I hope so. Because he doesn't, in my opinion, doesn't even belong in the same cage as Anderson Silva. But those last two times that Anderson went out, or before the Diaz fight, which he didn't look amazing in by any stretch.
True.
The fights before that weren't that great. But then again, you know, it's really easy to fight Michael Bisping when you're a striker because he's never even knocked someone down.
Yeah, he fancies himself a bit of a striking guru, too.
I knock him out. He's never knocks anyone out. He points at
He can't bust grapes, dude.
He can't. He points in their face at the weigh-ins every time. You fucked up. You did Viagra. Watch. You'll see. It's going to be the same thing every time. He's trying to sell the fight. He doesn't need to. No one really cares about it, to tell you the truth.
Especially on a Fight Pass. Who are you fucking selling it to?
Yeah. So
people already have their subscriptions.
They already have their subscriptions. It's just a matter of whether or not they remember or not. So.
Yeah, because it's an afternoon fight. I think the undercard starts at 9:30 in the morning or some shit.
I love it when the fights are in the morning.
It is good, because by like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the fights are all over, and you have the rest of your day to go actually live your life.
Yeah. I hate when I'm just a slave to my TV to like 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. I'm like,
oh, this day is over already?
Come on.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit here. We're going to come back with the former UFC middleweight champion of the world, Rich Franklin. And Rich is too much. Rich is crazy. Rich is fun. Rich is going to liven up this whole thing for you and I, Dan. So don't go anywhere, guys. We're going to have Rich on the show. We're going to talk a little bit about juice bars. People thinking I'm Rich Franklin. People thinking Rich Franklin's Forrest Griffin. People thinking Forrest Griffin's a bear. That kind of stuff. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. guys. Welcome back to the Crimson Canvas Podcast. Evan Shulman here with my man Dan Rose, and on the air we have Mr. Rich Franklin. I don't even know if I should call you the former UFC middleweight champion or if I call you the vice president of 1FC or the actor, you know, from Cyber Soldier. Like, what's your title?
I'm kind of like Apollo Creed in Rocky IV. You can keep going, like, with the nicknames. He had a ton of them, and you can do the same thing with me. So I don't even know. It's difficult because for the last 20 years of my life, people are like, what do you do for a living? I'm like, I'm a professional athlete or I'm a professional fighter or whatever. And now it's like, what do you do for a living? It's like, I'm a professional. Oh, wait, man, I don't do that anymore. Well, and then I have to sit back and think. And plus, I have so many other things going on in life, Evan, you know, I do public speaking and involved in a couple other just different businesses and little things here by my house, and I'm always hustling and shuffling around, so it'd be kind of difficult. But yeah, I guess VP of One Championship will work for me for now.
You know, before we get into all that, I just got to say that Apollo Creed's nicknames all came out in the second movie, not the fourth. He was dead in the third, all right? So he wasn't in Rocky IV unless the ghost of Apollo Creed got a whole bunch of nicknames.
Hold on. You're crazy. He fought the Russian in Rocky IV, and that's the Russian that beat him. And when he walked out to James Brown as his I think it was Living in America was the song that he used.
You know
what?
Yeah,
as an absolute fan of the Rocky movies,
right.
I can tell you that the point goes to Rich Franklin.
You're right,
thank
Rich.
You.
If he dies, he dies.
The Count of Monte
exactly.
Cristo, the King of Sting.
The Dancing Destroyer.
Did you get to see Creed?
Oh, absolutely.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's solid. What do you think, Dan? Would you say it's pretty solid?
I'd say it's very solid. I liked it very much.
You know, it's kind of Sylvester Stallone is taking these Rocky movies, like, in a certain direction right now. And it's pretty modern and not as campy as the old ones. But, yeah, I mean, I thought it was good. But, you know, he's not Apollo. Like, Apollo's, you know, Carl Weathers, Apollo Creed, he was the man.
Look, that's how it goes, man. Did you see the new Point Break, for example?
I won't see it. I'll never see it.
Exactly. See what I mean? Because we remember the originals. And so, yeah, like Creed is not Apollo Creed. He's his son and whatever. It's not the same thing. And the new Point Break, if you're a fan of the old Point Break, is just crap. So.
Right.
I named my dog after Patrick Swayze's character in Point Break.
Utah?
No, that's Keanu. I named him Bodhi.
I mean,
for Bodhi Zafa.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't see the new Roadhouse either. No disrespect to Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, that's look, they're just ruining all these old Patrick Swayze movies. Next, they're going to ruin, you know, like something like
Steel Dawn.
Nobody puts baby in a corner or something like that.
Yeah, if they mess up Dirty Dancing, that's fighting words.
Exactly, it's all over with. And you even knew what movie I was referencing just from the line.
Yeah,
of course, I love Swayze.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Apparently, you're right. Swayze crazy, Dan.
I'm crazy for Swayze. Did I just say that?
Have you seen a Saturday Night Live skit where the Chippendales one?
Chip Farley.
Oh my God, that's probably, in my opinion, the funniest Saturday Night Live skit ever.
Absolutely, one of the best ones where he's like, "I just want to be as good as you." You know, no, I can't be as good as you. You know, you deserve this. Like,
yeah, that was a really funny skit. I don't know how. I think it was like Mike Myers and I can't remember who else were the judges. I don't know how they were able to keep a straight face. And they're like, it just came down to the fact that you're both amazing dancers, but his body was just much, much better.
Yeah.
You know, I read yesterday that they're redoing Mrs. Doubtfire, and Jonah Hill's going to be Mrs. Doubtfire. How do you feel? How does that make you feel there, Rich?
I'm not as passionate about Mrs. Doubtfire as I am about Roadhouse or Point Break or, you know, any of my other 80s actions movies. So it probably wouldn't hurt my feelings as much. And I like Jonah Hill. I mean, he's not Robin Williams, but I think he could pull it off. And so I'm not sure that I would go see the new Mrs. Doubtfire anyway.
Yeah, I didn't see the first one, so that one doesn't bother me as much.
It's no Cyborg Soldier.
No, it's not, because who gets to work with Kelly Kapowski? Not a lot of people.
No, but I did. She's a cool girl, man, by the way. She's really, like, I was expecting, honestly, I don't know what I was expecting, but, you know, I mean, she's been famous her whole life from childhood, and typically those people have issues, and she was just a normal, cool chick, man.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen. Do you have any idea what she's doing these days?
I'm sure she's still acting and other stuff. I know that her and her husband had had a couple kids. She was on that
television show, White Collar. I don't know if you guys have seen that or not. That went for like 4 or 5 years. I think it ended in 2015.
I don't know.
I have no idea. But I'll tell you what, Rich is like along the same lines as you as far, because like. Our other host, Dean, we like The Walking Dead. We like that kind of stuff, where Dan is like, he's like kind of like a Law and Order guy, you know? And Rich, you strike me as being not a Walking Dead fan kind of guy either.
What?
Are you?
Listen, like, seriously, I thought you knew me. Like, I'm hurt deeply.
Evan, you done did it.
Okay, good. Hey, if this is a mistake I'm going to make, it's a good mistake to make.
Okay.
I thought I actually had a fighter on the show that was with me for once.
Listen. Law and Order is so 1994. even the new ones, it's like, come on, seriously, like, Dick Wolf, is he ever going to retire? Ever going to retire?
God, I hope not.
Oh, man. And all the shows are the same. Like, yeah, it's just, anyway... truth be told, though, Evan, I got rid of my television. Like, I don't have a TV, and I haven't had one for probably close to 2 or 3 years now. So I'm like falling out of social circles because people are coming, like the whole water cooler talk. Like, oh my God, did you guys see the new episode of The Walking Dead? And I'm not up to speed. So but The Walking Dead was one show that I followed. I'm like a Walking Dead, Game of Thrones, Dexter, probably like my three top shows off the top of my head.
Hell yeah. Dan, you don't watch any of them,
Dad.
Oh, you watch Dexter?
I love Dexter, yeah. But let me ask you a question real quick, Rich.
Go ahead.
Why did you get rid of your television?
You know, I'll tell you what. To say something like that in today's society that you don't have a TV, people just look at you like you're weird. But I got to a point where I was so busy that I didn't even have time to watch my television. And this is no joke. I'm sitting here like I'm paying like $150 a month of DirecTV, and I'm on the road or I'm doing this or that. And the only thing I miss about my television is like when I get up in the morning, I would make my breakfast and I would have like the news running on in the background just to kind of keep me plugged into the world. And you quickly realize now that I travel abroad for one championship, like you quickly realize like how limited or censored or whatever word you want to use, like the news here is in the States. It's like we live in this fishbowl and we really hear about like only the things that are going on in the States, like stuff like whether or not Trump wears a toupee. And it's like on the grand scheme of things, there was like this major city bombed where an orphanage was like 30 kids died in this orphanage and stuff in some country that you will never hear of here in the United States. And you start learning that kind of stuff. So I'm not really sure if I missed the news or not anyway, but I just realized like TV, it consumes like, I'm like everybody else. I'll kick the TV on and then I have 500 stations of nothing. And I start flipping around and 2 hours later, I've really still watched nothing. And I'm the kind of person, I have so many hobbies that it's like, if I'm going to sit down, if I have a half hour to sit down and do something, I'd rather sit down on my drum set or, you know, spend the day snowboarding or something like that. And all my free time that would have normally been chewed up with television gets replaced with what I call epic shit.
Wow.
And that's where you're supposed to talk to about yourself in the third person. What Rich Franklin calls epic shit.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, I work for one championship, and we do shows all over Southeast Asia, and I probably, over the last year, been to almost a dozen countries I've never been to in the last year, year and a half. And, you know, I've gone I went scuba diving in Bali. I went dirt bike riding in Dubai. Scuba diving in several different locations in Guam. I was at Blue Hole and just like stuff like that. But like, in order for me to have the time to do those kinds of things and maintain my job at One Championship and whatnot, like in my downtime, like when I'm sitting at home, like it's like I have to really, really be laser focused to get my stuff done so that when I want to take 4 or 5 days here to go to blow off and go do something cool, I have to get my stuff done. So when I'm at home, it's like no television. I'm laser focused on the job that I have until it's time for me to go play. And then I'm not going to spend my play time sitting watching television. I'm going to do something else.
So does that make like Walking Dead, Dexter, all that stuff like a Netflix airplane like ride? That's what you watch, or like because if you have those favorite shows. Are you like the Roku guy, or you just have no TV whatsoever?
Oh no, yeah, I'll buy. Like I was on I'll do like Netflix or something like that. Narcos. That's another great series. But you know what though, honestly, with that one, I was disappointed. Like, I really think that would have made a great 10-part series for like those 10 episodes, and just kind of like they did with like Band of Brothers, like make it like a one season thing and be done with it. But then they kind of continued it at the end, and I'm like, really? Like, come on, man. I mean, we all know what happened to Pablo eventually. So you had a cool season, and it's just that typical like this is a cool series, and let's try to maximize profits off of it, so we'll drag it out as long as possible. But that's another thing I do. Like, cause when I'm on the road, sometimes I'm in locations where like, you know, we have a fight show, on a specific night, and I have the night before where maybe I don't have any meetings and there's not much to do in a particular city or whatever. It's like, well, I'll just sit here and binge watch 2 or 3 episodes. I'm a movie buff for sure. Like I like going to watch movies.
Yeah. Right on. I mean, you've been in your fair share of movies. You've been in your fair share of commercials. Like a year ago, I texted you. I'm like, yo, is this you? Like, because it was just a split second of a guy doing like triceps with no shirt on. And I was like, whoa, wait. And I rewound it and I was screen grabbed it and sent it to you. You're like, yeah, that's weird. I didn't even know that came out. You know, I mean, is there a lot of that going on in your life? Like, do you just have these acting gigs that come up, you do stuff and just move on and then do your other 1FC?
I mean, a little, it's just kind of interspersed here and there. Cause Evan, you know that I was out on the West Coast for almost a couple years, and I'd opened up my cafe out there, in Beverly Hills. And so I was living in LA and I was kind of in the mix of things at that point in time. And so, yeah, I was a little bit here and there, but I never really truly actively pursued acting as a career. It's kind of like, I mean, I took acting classes for a while and I like doing it, but, quite honestly, like, unless somebody is going to put me in a movie because of me being, quote-unquote, Rich Franklin, like, somebody special, like, other than that, like, if I'm going to get into the grind of acting, like, I'm competing against people who, that's their full-time job. That's what they've been doing for, you know, obviously they're good at that. And so it's like, I don't want to sit here and go from audition to audition and do that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I do little projects here and there, and I'm involved in things, but no, that's not something that I would definitely say I would be able to survive off of is my acting.
Your deadpan looks in Cyber Soldier, and they say, be serious. You're like, I am serious. They're like, no, be more serious. Like, I can't get any more serious than this.
Bro, like, you know, people think that stuff's easy. That like, oh, well, you're playing a cyborg, like you don't have any personality. But it's like, if you don't have emotion, like everything is an emotion. Sarcasm is an emotion, humor, like all that kind of stuff, and it can't like translate into the character. And so they would be like, the director would give me notes all the time. They'd be like, okay, I just need you to kind of like if you could get rid of the emotion. And I'm like, what? I thought that was about as monotone as I could get.
It's kind of like that, man. It's pretty cool. Like,
yeah.
Hey, act a little more solemn. Like, dude, I mean, how? Like, I'm not smiling. I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting here staring. I like Cyber Soldier, but, I mean, I like anything that any of my buddies are in. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I didn't know if it was like, because I was like, oh, Kapowski, is he not going to get Kelly Kapowski? You know, some like questions that I ask myself when I watch these kind of movies, because Tiffany Amber Thiessen, you know, she's a lot of people's, you know, childhood crush, and, you know, you watch in that movie and you're kind of like, well, that's cool, Rich, but that's Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Yeah, well, listen, when I remember my manager at the time, he said to me before I did the movie, we were talking about acting, and he said one day, he's like, you know, we're talking about acting. He's like, are you interested in acting roles here and there? And I'm like, yeah, you know. I said, yeah, that would be cool to get into, transition to. And I thought, like, he's like, okay, well, I got something for you. So you need to read this script. And I'm like, all right. He's like, you're playing the part of Isaac. And I'm like, okay. And I'm thinking in my mind, I'm like, I would imagine that it's going to be like one of those things where I just happen to do like a little cameo type of thing as a bartender. Like, hey, what can I get you? What are you guys drinking tonight? You know, and like one or two lines and be done. And I'm reading the script, and I get probably like 20, 30 pages into the script, and I'm like, and I call him back. I'm like, hey, man, I'm like the main character here. And he said, yeah, I know. I'm like, don't you think we could kind of ease into this? I've never even been in front of a camera before. He's like, oh, don't worry about it. You got it. And then he starts messing with me. He's like, he says, you know who's playing opposite you? And he tells me, and I'm like, oh, this is cool. I said, and jokingly, I was like, so there's a kissing scene, of course. And he said, have you ever done theatrical kissing before? And then I just remember that conversation, and I was sitting there suddenly in my stomach. There was this pit, like, oh, my God. Like, what am I going to do? First of all, I don't know how to movie kiss, and I'm going to be movie kissing Tiffany Amber Thiessen. Like, what, you know? And I just remember being, like, super nervous at that point.
What was it called? Theatrical kissing? Is that what it was called?
That's what he called it. I don't know.
I mean, what's the difference? I guess because you probably just know how to kiss, so you're, like, going in for the kill kind of thing, like, you know,
yeah, exactly. I would have just had to explain, like, look, I'm a method actor, and I just act by doing.
There you go.
You know, Rich and I have a couple of silly little stories from back in the day. One, when I was younger, you know, Rich and I were the exact same age, or I'm a couple months older, and. You know, we kind of have the same look and build, and we're the same size and everything. And I was with Paul Buentello and Nate Quarry and Dan Henderson. We were at some corral thing where there was like a bull in the middle of it or whatever. And it was, if you ever hang around fighters love to just screw with whoever the non-fighter is. And everybody said that I was Rich Franklin. And everyone came up to me and was like, oh, man, I love what you guys are doing and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, it's the worst thing in the world when someone comes up to you and thinks you're someone else. Okay? it really is. And I'd be like, nah, I'm just a math teacher. You know, I start throwing that kind of stuff out. I'm like, I'm just out here from Ohio, you know, just throwing all that out. Whatever. And, you know, move on. But then Rich has some kind of thing like that. And it was a story about Forrest Griffin. I remember I had Forrest Griffin on one of my shows, and Rich had told me the story that he just totally submarined Forrest with some fan. Now, if you want to tell that story, Rich, it would be most appreciated.
Well, just for the record, like, I would never do something like that. I wouldn't do it to anybody, but I especially wouldn't do it to a guy like Forrest. On purpose, like, to really damage his reputation. Like, the day that I did that, I actually told Forrest the next day. I was like, oh, hey, by the way, you probably lost some fans last night at the Rio. And he's like, why is that? And I said, because, you know, when you get mistaken for somebody, it's easier to go with it sometimes. Like, when I get mistaken for Forrest, people are like, hey, Forrest Griffin? And I'm like, no, I'm not. And then there are those fans that just, if whatever reason, they just flat out, they won't believe you. And they're like, ah, yeah, okay, hey, look, hey, Forrest, your secret's safe with me. And it's like, I'm not him, really. It's like, whatever, bud. Do you mind if we get a little picture together? Like, so you just learn, like, it's just easier to be like, yeah, you know, hey, Forrest, can I get a picture? Sure, let's get a photo. And then they're done. And so I was at the Rio that night, and this guy comes up to me. He's like, oh, my God. I was at Voodoo Lounge at the top of the Rio a few years ago, and quite a few years ago now. And he's like, Forrest Griffin, man, huge fan, this and that. I'm like, oh, thanks, man, appreciate it. And, you know, kind of like high-fiving type of thing, thinking that he's going to. I'm there with some friends, and they had given me like a, I had like a little couch area, and so I'm thinking like, you know, high five, maybe a little picture, and he'll you know, and this is before everybody's like constantly Facebook updating, so you didn't have to worry about that at the time. And so I'm thinking like, okay, he'll, you know, I'll be left alone now. And then unbeknownst to me, that he was there with this like police SWAT police convention or something, and he had pretty much everybody from his district there, and I guess the entire SWAT convention decided that they wanted to go hang out at the Voodoo Lounge that night. So for like the next like 15 minutes, I'm taking pictures with all these people that think I'm Forrest Griffin, and finally and my friends are sitting there like, dude, like, and you're not even like, we're spending time with you, and normally we had to deal with the fact of your celebrity status, but now we have to deal with the fact that you're pretending to be somebody else's celebrity status, you know, and so. I'm like, yeah, and so finally this guy walks up and he's like, man, Forrest, one more, and I hate that when there's like 50 more people in line. It's like, really? Like, you don't say that to me, because, and then finally I just go, you know what? I'm like, Forrest Griffin don't take no pictures, and Forrest Griffin don't sign no autographs. I'm done. And I sat down, and everybody was looking, so then I saw Forrest the next night. I was like, by the way, you may have lost a few fans last night.
Hilarious.
Forrest Griffin don't take no pictures. Forrest Griffin don't sign no autographs.
Yeah, that's how you could tell I'm angry. I was using double negatives. Either that or I wanted everybody to think Forrest was illiterate.
Forrest Griffin don't do that. Oh, and then you said that, I mean, it had to have been in L.A. because I know you opened up like a juice bar, right, in Beverly Hills?
Mm-hmm, I did.
Yeah, is it still going?
No, actually, so when I took my job at One Championship, I knew that I was going to be doing a lot of traveling abroad, and I just basically was like, I decided to sell my juice bar. Quite honestly, like, man, the food industry, holy crap, probably the hardest that I've ever worked in my life, truly. I at the time that I sold it, I really was just looking for a way out. Like, I was like, yeah, I just want to get out of this particular business. Because when I opened that, like, I was really just, I was doing the grunt work. And I mean, everything from setting up the business to, you know, calling manufacturers and suppliers. And I learned so much about plastic bottles and injection molds, everything from that to ordering produce and vegetation to, writing operations manuals. And there's a lot that goes into something like that. And so it was months and months and months of preparation in R&D before we even opened it. And then I opened it, and about a year later, I sold it.
Because I know you were in L.A. Did you move back to Ohio?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never moved out to L.A. I never moved out to L.A. full-time. I just had an apartment out there in the Century City area. And then I would just bounce back and forth. But I was spending a good portion of my time in L.A. at the time.
Yeah, because, you know, most of us, you know, we take to Twitter, Facebook. I don't even know if you have a Facebook, but we, you know, we all take to Twitter and kind of, you know, vent our frustrations and say what we're doing that day or what's going on or blah, blah, blah. But you never, you know, you respond to quotes on Twitter. That's more your thing, you know. And so I'm like, God, I don't even know what the hell Rich is doing aside from, you know, being the VP of 1FC, and that's why I was like, what is he doing all this? This is my stupid thought process. I go, is he doing all this and running a juice bar?
Yeah, no, I if I could have just stepped back and been hands-off owner, I could, but whenever you have a business like that, it definitely requires your attention, so I couldn't, but no, I never put my frustrations on Facebook. Or quite frankly, I never get frustrated, so there's no need to.
How do you manage? Are you back in Ohio? Is that where you are?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, so how do you manage, like, one FC, what, every 2 months there's a fight? Do you only go for how much?
More often than that.
Give us the scoop.
Yeah,
well,
okay, so for the people, we keep talking one championship, and so some of the listeners may not know the brand. So One Championship, the MMA organization, is largest sports media property in Asia, based out of Singapore. And they did their first show in 2011. We have this year projected to do 24 shows. We signed with an entertainment group in China, and was the first international promotion to do a show on mainland Chinese soil in Beijing in December of 2014. Did a couple more shows in China last year, and then of course now this year we've already done several shows there and getting ready to do our fourth. I don't think we have a fourth show in China until March, April maybe. Yeah, I don't think we have one in March, or maybe late March, I'm not sure. But then we have all the other regions that we go to, and we're opening up some new regions this year. So the company just will, by the end of the year, do 24 shows, and it's a great promotion. It's slightly different than any of the promotions here in the States. They use a different judging criteria that would kind of resemble Pride a little bit more, in the sense that you judge the fight in its entirety rather than on a round by round basis. So there's no 10-point must system, and the rules, you're allowed to kick and knee a down opponent to the head. So it's slightly different, and in my opinion, just from our judging criteria alone, it makes for some really, really exciting fights. So the brand is growing, and it's growing quickly. I've been with the company now for a year and a half, almost 2 years, and just what I've seen in 2 years, it's just crazy. It's just growing exponentially.
I mean, in your opinion, and my opinion, I think Ben Askren could honestly go to the UFC and fight Robbie Lawler and win tomorrow. That might just, people go up in arms about the whole thing, but I've never seen a guy that is made out of rubber that can take people down, keep them exactly where he wants, and he never stops punching.
I'll say this, though. Robbie's a good wrestler, and that fight might be a bit, like, just from a strategic standpoint, might be a bit more problematic. But I believe that if Ben was going to take that fight, he'd be better served doing it in one championship because of the rule differences.
Right. I'll tell you what I love, and I've always liked the fact that, you know, over there, the knees to the knees to a grounded opponent is great, because most people can't stall out. You can't really turtle up. You can't put one hand on the ground, you know, to kind of cheap your way out of fighting. You know, you're gonna get kicked. You're gonna get hit, no matter where you're at. So, yeah,
yep.
I like what they're doing, and I'm really actually jealous of whoever their graphic designer is that puts the posters together, because they got some slick.
They do have some amazing posters.
Yeah.
Well, I will. I'll definitely give the feedback to our graphic designer over there. She'll much appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm not too proud to say that I do the posters for local stuff here in San Diego, or to you, I'm in Portland, but and I'm not too.
That's your.
I'm not too,
like, that's your Dexter, the Shonko, the Portland Shonko.
Well, yeah, let me tell you a story, Dan.
Let's hear it, buddy.
Listening.
I'm always ready for a story.
So what?
I said, I'm always ready for your stories.
Just the way that I treat you on the show half the time is mostly how I get treated by fighters, except...
Yeah, I understand that.
Except I have no remorse, whereas fighters are like, I get hit in the head for a living. You know, that's what they say after every time. So, I had no...
Yeah, but hold on. Side note on this fighter thing. Like, fighters don't... when you're hanging out with a group of fighters, the fighters don't just zero in on the 9 fighters. They just pick on everybody. Like, we're just... Like, it's like an equal opportunity thing is for me. Like, I'll just whatever situation comes up. If even if one of my fighter friends fits into that situation, or you happen to be there and you're not the fighter, it's like whoever is the best one to play this joke on is the one that gets picked on. That's how the fighter thinks.
But the fighter is the excuse every time. Every time a fighter does something, they're just like, I get hit in the head for a living. Like, it's such a cop-out. It's so unfair.
Yeah. Every fighter, the first, like, dozen fighters I ever met covering the sport were all awesome. And I didn't understand what people were talking about when they talk about the fighters that mess with people until I met Quentin Rampage Jacks. And that went south in a hurry.
Oh, yeah. I've been, oh, man. I've just seen stuff with Quentin. Like a guy asked him to sign autograph his T-shirt one time, and and on his back. And Quentin's like, "Yeah, sure." And so he's standing back there, and he autographs his T-shirt, and he drew a big penis on the T-shirt. And I was just like, "Really, dude? Like, really? Come on, man." So
yeah, I went to Reno for a King of the Cage event, and we. Sure Dog and I were talking to Quentin Jackson, and he was being all nice, and then he had a fighter that was one of his buddies that was fighting that night and didn't have a sponsor. So like 10 minutes before the fight, he came up to me. He's like, "Hey, give me your Sure Dog shirt." And I was like, "What?" He's like, "Take your shirt off and give it to me. I'm going to give it to my boys so he can wear it to the ring so we can tell Jeff he has to give him some money." I was like, "Dude, this is the only shirt I have." He's like, "Well, you can sit here with no shirt on. Just give me your shirt." I was like, "Come on, dude, I'm ringside, I'm in the media, I can't sit here with no shirt on." He's like, "All right, hold on, I'll go get you a shirt." And he comes back with a small tank top. And Evan knows me, I'm not getting into a small anything, let alone a small tank top. And I'm like, "Dude, I'm not going to do this." He's like, "You're not a defend a knee to the stomach?" I was like, "No, not really." He's like, "All right, give me the shirt." And finally, like, Jeff came over, Sherwood came over, he's like, "Quentin, I'm not giving him anything, even if Dan gives up the shirt, so you might as well knock it off." So Rampage walked away. He's like, "Dude, I'm kneeing you later." And I was like, "Okay."
Thanks, so did buddy. He catch up with you later, or were you able to?
He caught up with me a little later after the show, and he was like, "All right, now how would you block this?" And I was like, "Maybe I'd do that." He's like, "No, because then I'll just break your arm." I was like, "Yeah, I don't know, Quentin." He's like, "All right, well, I'll work with you on it." And then he just kind of wandered off.
Yeah,
fighters.
But he definitely wanted that shirt. He was not joking.
Yeah, That's different though. Me, when I'm picking on people, it's like just good humor. Like the same kind of humor that I would be willing to tolerate. Like,
yeah.
So in that case, I would never do something like that because it's like, I'm not going to let somebody take my shirt, so I wouldn't play that kind of prank on somebody else.
Well, if Jeff hadn't gotten there when he did, I was going to be sitting there in a small tank top.
What'd it look like?
Just get my shirt.
It'd look like a sports bra on you.
Hey, Evan.
I'm just saying.
Don't think I won't handle you just because we got company right now.
Just saying. It would have looked like a sports bra on you. But
all right, tell your story.
Rich, I've known Rich for a couple of years at this point, you know. And then he's something like he tweeted like, "Oh, you know, on my way to San Diego to like teach the Marines, you know, MMA or something like that." I'm like, "Oh, dude," I'm like, "let's get together. You know, I'm like 20 miles south of that in this area, San Diego." And he's like, "San Diego? I thought you live in Portland." And I'm like,
"What?
Portland? Where'd you get Portland?" He's like, "I don't know. I just always thought you lived in Portland." I'm like, "No, dude, I live in San Diego." And he was so like, "Are you sure?" Like that kind of thing. Like I was the idiot.
Well, nice. Yeah, because like, I couldn't have made the mistake. But then I realized that the reason why I made that mistake is because I get punched in the head for a living.
Right.
So,
well, there you go.
Exactly. Well, but you didn't tell, like, so he missed a little bit of a detail, Dan. What ended up happening was, like, I tweeted something out. Evan hits me up on text, right? He's like, "Hey, bro." He's like, "You know, like, what date's, you know, were you going to be in San Diego or whatever?" And then I text him back, and I write his last name with a W in it. And I misspell it. And then my phone autocorrects it so that it says Shownco, Shownco. And then it was like, "Yeah." I was like, "Well, you know, are you down from Portland?" And he's like, "What the hell are you talking about, Portland? And who's Shownco?" He's like, "Do I even know you?" And I'm like, "So, Yeah, it was bad on all accounts.
Absolute colossal failure of communication at that point. So
sounds like
so
it.
Since that day, you know, I mean, even when I asked him if he wanted to come on, I'm like, hey, I need you to come on the Show & Co. Radio based out of Portland.
Yeah.
Nice.
And my response was, go Trailblazers.
Yeah.
There you go. Rip City.
He actually did say, yeah, I'll do anything for my people in Oregon. I was like, all right. Rich definitely holds it down. Rich, you got, how much time do you got left? You good to go, or you need to get out of here?
Yeah, man. I got a few more minutes. If you got more stuff, or if I'm boring you, I can pretend like I'm busy.
No, I just want to make sure we don't go over, and then I get a text later like, hey, is this how people do interviews in Portland? Keeping people over time when I'm trying to get the hell out of here and watch my Trailblazers play.
Well, there is the Pacific Northwest on this show, so that's good.
Yeah, Dan's in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, don't worry about that. I'll probably forget to text you later, even if I was irritated because you get punched in the head for a bit.
Right, because you get punched in the
head. See, he's not letting that go, Evan. I don't know if you're catching that.
Hey, trust me. I've used that excuse before. Like, I'll run into people and, like, you know, I'm really bad. Like, Dan, I'm really bad about remembering people's names and stuff unless I actually spend time with a person. But, like, you know, if we all hung out and we just hung out for, like, let's say we were at a fight event and we hung out for a couple hours and it was like, and then I go about my way and I don't run into you for like 2 or 3 years. Like just hanging out with you for an hour or two, I probably wouldn't remember you. And, and I use that as an excuse all the time because I get punched in the head, but really it's just cause I'm terrible about it. Now, if I came up to Portland and was doing a seminar at Show & Co. School, and you and I were there hanging out for 3 or 4 days, then you would have at that point made an impression on me and I would remember. But yeah, otherwise my brain is like a computer that says, yep, delete old file, not needed.
You got to log in enough time to get into the old mental Rolodex.
Exactly, man, exactly.
I understand it.
Or if you're just crazy enough that, you know, it's like, I'll never forget that guy, even if I only talk to him for 10 minutes.
I won't forget that guy reporting for Sure Dog wearing a women's sports bra.
Listen, it's the truth right
Dude.
There, man.
God damn it, Evan.
Problem is, Rich, Dan divulges information on this show. And
I do. I'm an idiot.
And then I take that information and I scream it from the rooftops.
Worse than that, I'll just be talking to Evan not on the show. I'll just be chatting with him and I'll say something embarrassing from my childhood. And then I'll be like, ah, shoot, I probably shouldn't have told him that. I'll be like,
yeah,
dude, don't bring that up on the show. And then he'll open the next show with it.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Yeah, right. I used to piss my pants all the way till 8th grade. Really? Yeah, but don't say anything. All right.
Just for the record, yeah, that's not true.
Welcome to Dan Pissed His Pants Radio.
Yeah,
that's how rumors get started.
Yeah, I can't help myself, Rich. Now, you had mentioned before we got on the show, and this is the last thing I'll ask you, you said, and we were talking about mistaken identity, you had brought up a Jim Carrey thing. Now, again, yeah, sure, there are similarities. That same, you know, tall face is pretty it's similar in ways at some points.
He looks like Rich. I mean, he looks like Ace Ventura a little bit.
So,
look, man, if you guys go to my social media and see some of the side-by-sides that people do, some of the fans do, it's crazy. Like, sometimes I look and I'm like, holy crap, I did not realize I looked that much like him. But for the most part, I don't think so.
But you had said you had gotten a lot of that. I'm wondering if you're in your time in Beverly Hills with the juice bar, was that when people were like, oh my God, Ace Ventura, or Ace Rich Ventura,
so,
you always called him.
I did almost.
Yeah, like, okay,
that. Thanks
so
for pointing
time,
that out, though.
One time I'm in Vegas, actually, and I'm getting ready to fight, and me and my team, we go out, and we just go out shopping. Like, we used to go out and go shopping before the fights, like the night before the fight or something like that. We'd joke around and be like, and we would buy, like, team shoes, because one time we all bought the same shoes, and it was kind of fun. And then So I'm in this little shop, and I'm looking around, and all of a sudden, this lady, she looks at me, the lady working at the shop, and there was the one behind the counter and the lady that was kind of sitting on, like, aisle two restocking the shelf. And the one behind the counter looks at me, she goes, oh, my gosh, I'm a huge fan. And I said, oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that, you know. And she says, yeah, what are you doing here in Vegas? And I'm like, well, you know, I'm here for the fights this weekend. And she's like, oh, great. So you're going to the fights. And I'm like, and I'm sitting there and it's kind of drifting like, yeah, I'm on the poster. And she's like, well, you mind if I get an autograph? And I'm like, nah, I don't mind, not at all. And then as I'm getting ready, I lean down to sign the autograph and she kind of leans over and kind of puts her hand up, by her cheek. And she's like, Janice. And the lady that's stocking the shelves looks up and she kind of looks and she goes, Jim Gary, and kind of points at me like, you know, like she's like that like yell whisper as if I wasn't going to hear her. And I'm not really sure who else she was hiding it from. And I'm just about ready to sign the paper. And I look and I'm like, lady, I said, I hate to disappoint you. I said, but I'm not Jim. And she's like, oh, whatever, Jim. And I was just like, you know what? This is going to take a heck of a lot longer than if I just give a little squiggly autograph. So I just like put it on the paper and just kept going.
Right on.
Oh, man. What's messed up is being a celebrity and mistaken for another celebrity. Like, that's crazy to me. Like, damn. That, you know, I don't have to deal with that kind of thing, you know, in my life, in my line of work.
You're kind of like, there's kind of this part of you that's like, hey, I've done cool stuff too. No me for me.
All right, Rich. Well, we've had you on for 45 minutes. I know that's a long time for someone that's as busy as you to be, you know, farting around with peons like us. But we do definitely appreciate you coming on this show. It's going to probably be our highest rated show ever because I don't see Rich Franklin doing autograph or interviews anywhere anymore. So, you know, I think we're kind of like the special ones or something. Thank God for Show & Co.
Portland, Oregon, ladies and gentlemen, represent.
When you have personal ties, it makes it a heck of a lot easier. But I don't do a ton of interviews. I'm just I do a lot of stuff overseas. That's for sure, man. I'm so busy when I'm over there, and I'm constantly in front of the media and whatnot. But yeah, it's kind of nice. Like I'm kind of able to. I'm like Batman. Like I'm able to navigate the shadows.
Well, you've always wanted to be Batman. Because I'll tell you what, I remember after one weigh-in, where it was you were just like, oh my god, so overwhelmed and just couldn't walk 5 feet, and I mean, you even called right after and were like, dude, I'm sorry. There was just so many people. I mean, is that whole, like, fanatical thing that's, like, kind of died down because you get to leave the spotlight? Is it nice? Like, are you happy about it? Because we don't see you hanging around UFCs too much these days. So are you just, like, happy just kind of being able to do your own thing?
Well, see, it all depends on the setting, okay? Because, like, you know, I can go out, and, I might go out somewhere. And when I was fighting, Evan, I always remember, like, if I went to, like, say, like, a shopping center or something on a Thursday night, and then I would start getting, like, recognized a ton. And I'm like, what the heck's going on, you know? Like, and it would be like, oh, they replayed, like, four of my fights last night, hyping up my fight coming up in the next, like, in 2 months or whatever. And I always knew when I'd been on television, and the less that you're on TV, the more you kind of fall out of that, like, instant recognition. And so that makes it easier for, like, my daily life, like when I'm in the grocery store and stuff like that. And not that it ever got so bad that, I mean, I wasn't like a Tom Cruise or something walking around or whatever. But when I, like, even still, like, when I go to, like, say, like, a Bengals game locally or a Reds game, I'm really running the risk there that once I get recognized, it becomes an epidemic. Like, because the moment that that you're made, like, and somebody takes a picture with you, then everybody wants a photo because we live in this modern day society where, like, fame's kind of a funny thing, really. It's a bit of a sham, actually, because I'll be at a baseball game and I'll have one person that recognizes me that truly, truly cares who I am. And then you know, maybe two or three other people that are like, well, yeah, that's Rich Franklin, and who that is, I'll get a photo. And then because I got a picture with like a half a dozen people, then there's maybe another dozen people or that have heard my name, and it's like, well, I should do that. And then because it's like, I should get a picture with him because somebody on my Facebook knows who he is, and that'll make me cool. And then suddenly the perception from everybody else is, well, this guy must be important, so I should get a picture with him too. And what you really find is that you just spent 45 minutes of your life taking pictures with people that really don't care who you are at all, except for like the first one or two guys. And that can happen like when I'm at a sporting event, especially because that's the demographic. And so it happens from time to time, but for the most part, navigating life is pretty easy. I've had a couple instances over in Asia, especially in the Philippines. I did not realize how popular I was in the Philippines. Yeah, pretty crazy stuff.
Well, let's not forget, didn't Ohio a few years ago, the mayor or whoever, someone in Ohio named, there was a Rich Franklin Day, isn't there?
Absolutely.
I don't forget these things, Rich.
You know what? Honestly, and you know what we should do, Evan? We should contact like maybe the Portland mayor and see if we can get a Rich Franklin Day in Portland.
Holy cow. Even if I was from there, it's like, even though you're from there, get me a day, not you.
Yeah, I like that too. That was funny.
Yeah.
I was half expecting you to be sarcastic, saying we need to get a Shonko Day, but you went straight for the jugular and made it all about the Rich Franklin Day in Portland.
Listen, that's how you get ahead in life. Like just being a good fighter didn't get me to where I was. Like I have to be selfish and constantly pushing my own agenda all the time. Like you have to not care about other people and be as shallow as possible. And so that's what I'm saying. I don't want to hear your lip. Let's just get this thing done in Portland, man.
I'll get working on the Seattle Rich Franklin Day tomorrow too.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Listen, Dan, if you guys have contacts in other major U.S. cities, let's try to steer away from any tier two cities. You know,
sure.
There's no sense in like something like a Wichita. Like that's probably no. Actually,
yeah,
that's probably the biggest. That's the biggest city in Kansas anywhere, maybe Kansas City. We got to figure out which one is bigger, and then we'll go for that one.
I like it.
All right. Great. Well, Dan Rose, you're consigliere for getting Rich Franklin Day in the other 47 states.
Well, but you're still working on Oregon for me, though.
Yes, absolutely. First, I got to get my Nate Quarry Day approved, and then I'll go for yours.
How's Nate doing, by the way?
Nate's good, man. He's doing his comic thing more than anything.
We had him on the show not too long ago.
I saw his TED Talk. His TED Talk was good.
What is TED Talk?
What?
What is TED Talk?
You don't know what TED Talk is, man?
Come on, showman.
That's what people who don't have television do. They watch things like TED Talks and whatnot. So I'll tell you what. Go to YouTube. You know what YouTube is, Shonko?
Is that on the internet? That creation that just started since I got my new phone?
Yeah, it's called the World Wide Web.
Okay. Oh, that's what the www is for. All right.
So go on the internet, or if you have a YouTube app on your phone, and that's short for application, go to your YouTube application and just touch it with your finger, and it will open. And then you can type in there Rich Franklin TED Talk or Nate Quarry TED Talk, and it'll come up. And check them out, man. Mine's about failure. In mine, I talk about, like, losing my title and stuff like that. It's called How to Be a Loser. It's a good talk, man. It's a really good talk. Like I've been doing motivational talks, and that doesn't sound very motivational. Like, what? I want to go there and figure out how to be a loser. But yeah, it's a good little talk, man. And Nate did a really good talk, too.
Sounds depressing.
I knew that you did a TED Talk. I did not know that Nate had done one.
Yeah, in Nate's talk, he actually talked about me a little bit in the TED Talk. I talked about Anderson in mine. And I'll tell you, I probably told you this before, Evan, but like Nate came into my hotel room the night that I lost my title. And I'll never forget, man. He gave me some great advice. He was just awesome advice that night. So, yeah.
Well, I remember once I was like going back and forth with the two of you, and you're like, oh, I can't remember if it was you or if it was Nate. I think it was Nate. He's like, I thought he hated me, like because he punched me in the face, you know. And I'm like, No, dude. He said you're solid, like, or maybe I can't remember if it was the other way around. I don't know, whatever. But I'm like, what the hell? Like, don't you guys talk to each other? Like, hey, man, I know how this feels.
Yeah. We do, but yeah, I guess as time passes, you forget about some of that stuff and whatnot. So, I would imagine that. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, no, I have nothing but respect for Nate, and like I said, I really appreciate him coming to my hotel room the night I lost my title. I don't even know if he remembers it or not, but it definitely made an impression on me.
Yeah, Nate's solid. You both solid guys. I hate seeing two good dudes fighting each other. 155,000 views.
What are you talking about?
TED Talk?
Yeah. Your TED Talk has 155,000 views.
Yours was in Chicago, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Rich, was yours in Chicago?
Yeah. It was a TEDx. Look, man, listen, Evan, there's some cool stuff, man, on TED. Like, you can, like, the typical format for a TED Talk is, like, 20 minutes at a maximum length. And, You can things like, if you wanted to, like, listen to an alternative point of view on, like, global warming or climate change, or if you wanted to hear, like, somebody give a little quirky, I'll tell you what, I'll send you a link to a short little TED Talk, if I can find it. I'll send you a couple links. I'll send you one from a TED Talk from probably my personal favorite TED Talk is from a guy named Benjamin Zander, who was, I believe he was the conductor of the Boston Philharmonic Symphony. And he uses a piano and he infuses the piano into his talk. It's about a 20-minute talk. And it's just, you could tell like how passionate he is about music. And he's basically talking about passion. But it's not like he actually has to use words to kind of to make his point, because you could just tell from the talk. So I'll send you that one, and I'll send you maybe like a short, quirky one that I like. Like I saw one time on how to properly dry your hands to minimize. It was about paper conservation, and this guy was talking about like how to use a paper towel so that you didn't end up like using 10 of them to dry your hands, And it was just a good quirky little talk, but I'll send you a couple of them and just check them out, man. It's some good stuff on there. Cause honestly, that's what I spend most of my time doing, man. My free time, like I'll be, you know, listening to lectures online or something like that.
This is crazy, man. I'm looking at all these, people love you. Like, damn, like, you know, what's funny is I'm coming across comments of guys I know.
You know what's crazy is that you say that, like, you're like, people love you. I'm like, well, I was kind of generally liked as a fighter, so.
Yeah.
But said it as if it was a surprise, like, oh, my God, people actually like you.
I'm saying it as.
Yeah, that was a little insulting,
I'm
Evan.
Saying it like
I know. I'm like.
Like, it's 2016, and people hate everything. People hate everything.
They don't hate Rich Franklin.
I always say, if Jesus had a weak ground game, the guys on the MMA forums would find a way to hate him.
If Jesus had a perfect ground game, people on the MMA forum would find a way to hate him.
Heck, yeah, that's a fact.
He was perfect, and Judas, like, he only had 12 friends. That's what Cat Williams, the best line ever. Like, Jesus was perfect. He only had 12 friends, and one of them hated him.
Yeah. Like, they're haters as long as you can remember, so.
Exactly. You gotta understand your audience. You don't put a steak in front of a vegan, you know?
It's a true story.
I think we're coming up with a lot of great quotes here at the end, ladies and gentlemen. You don't put a steak in front of a vegan. If Jesus had a weak ground game, UFC fans would, or MMA fans would hate on him. I think we got a lot of good stuff going here, man.
Yeah.
All right, Rich. Well, before we let you go, you know, want you to plug whatever you want to plug, where people could find you. This whole TED Talks thing on this internet invention that you're talking about, whatever you'd like. Now is your chance, so go ahead.
Ah, man, you know what? I always hate these plugs. It's so cheesy, and then it kind of cheapens the fact that I just came on because you and I are great buddies, and I like to spend my time. But, you know, my Facebook, I don't even know what my Facebook extension is. Just you can Google me and it comes up on Rich Franklin. But my Twitter is at Rich Franklin. And so on my Twitter, I do a lot of motivational quotes, both from other people, obviously, like Mike Ditka today, but also quotes that I come up with myself. You might see Don't Put a Steak in Front of a Vegan on there at some point in time. Know your audience. Who knows? That was an original, by the way. I know you're probably thinking, like, where did he steal those amazing words from? But no, a lot of motivational stuff, nutritional stuff, working out stuff. And I do, you know what, Evan, I do on my social media post quite a bit of my training still, because that's actually me training. I don't superimpose my head on somebody else that works like an animal. So, you know, it's kind of that atmosphere, man. If you're into motivation and working out and staying healthy and general good lifestyle and positive thinking and all that kind of stuff, then, come check me out and you'll find some other stuff on there as well. I got a couple other things going on in my life right now and working with a product called Armor Gel. It's an amazing product, but, I don't want to sit here and do a 5-minute plug on that product, but I should send you some samples of it. It's a silver, a nano silver gel that's designed for cuts and burns and scrapes and stuff like that. And so I should send you some because it truly is amazing crap, man. I don't travel anywhere without it.
We have no problems if you want to give a 5-minute plug on this stuff.
Okay. So listen, it's just, you know, this is the part in time where like if I was a listener, I'm like, oh, it's the blatant, like, it's trying to sell something. No, okay, so here, let me tell
this.
Like,
this is going to be the very end of the show, so it doesn't matter. If they want to hear it,
yeah,
cool. If they want to turn it off, they can turn it off.
Well, that, and we will have probably lost listeners by now anyway. I'm not sure how long you can listen to me and maintain sanity for that matter. But yeah, so here's the deal. When I had my cafe out in Beverly Hills, I went to the Health Foods Expo in Anaheim there, and I come across these guys and they have this product called Armor Gel, and I started asking them about it. I'm like, you know, what's the deal with this product? And they're like, it's a nanosilver water-based gel, a hydrogel. So it's not made with any alcohols or petroleums. There's nothing toxic in it. It's just, you know, a water-based gel with nanosilver particles. And if you know anything about silver, it's highly antibacterial. Like, they make medical-grade instruments out of silver. Like, for example, the tradition of, like, throwing coins in a fountain came from people used to put, like, silver coins in their wells to keep the water from going rancid. Or when ships would take long voyages, they would put silver coins in the barrels of water to keep it from going bad, so sailors had water to drink, because silver is just an antibacterial metal and it's non-toxic to the body. And you can actually ingest silver, and this company, they actually make a liquid silver. And that's how I knew the company, because we were buying their liquid silver and selling immunity shots in my store, because you would take this nano silver, not a colloidal silver, it's different than that, but you would take the silver and it would help boost your immune system because silver fights bacteria. So they created this water-based gel, and it's designed for, like, cuts and burns and stuff. And the gel, it has FDA claims against staph, MRSA, things like different, like, VRE, like, things like different yeast, like Candida. And so when I'm walking by and I'm talking to these guys, and initially I'm talking to them because I carried one of their products, and then I started asking about this, and they start telling me about it, and I'm like, man, you know, I'd love to find out some more on this. So they're basically like, look, we'd love to work with you. And so I've been working with this company for a while. And I do not travel without my Armor Gel. I've been cut and scraped, and I've seen all this. Like, you guys have seen the stuff on the news with, like for example, like Daniel Fells, the tight end for the Giants that got staph and almost lost his foot from it. And so, yeah. So, you know, like, the reason why this really attracted me is because, you know, I'm overseas now, and there are times, like, I was teaching a seminar in Cambodia, and I walked into the school, and I looked at the mat, and I was like, I really, like, questioned in my head whether or not the mat had ever been wiped down, ever. And so before I got on the mat, man, I went and grabbed my tube of Armor Gel, and I wiped it all over my entire body, all over, because basically, like, once it'll soak into your skin, basically, and kind of, like, form, like, a barrier of protection against bacteria and stuff like that. So I've used it for that. I mentioned earlier in the show, I was scuba diving one time down in Bali, and I got sunburned really, really bad, and applied that every few hours that night and woke up the next day, didn't end up peeling, and, you know, had no problems at all. But, you know, just I've used it for, like, you know, just general stuff. Like, if I'm training, on the AstroTurf at the gym, I'll nick my knee up or something like that. And an AstroTurf is known, they carry things like staph and stuff so bad, because it's hard to clean that stuff. And that's where a lot of cases of football players getting staph from the turfs, like from slide burns and stuff like that. And so if I nick my knee up, I throw a little Armagel on top of it to keep myself from, from having to worry about getting infected or anything like that. And so I'm traveling on a plane. I wipe it on my face and kind of wipe it up into my nose to, you know, form a protective barrier against, like, breathing in, like, bacteria and stuff like that. So I'm not sitting there wearing, like, one of those masks looking like a weirdo on the plane and whatnot. But, yeah, I use it for a lot of different stuff. There was actually one guy at the company that said he had gotten food poisoning when he was traveling one time, and he didn't have anything but his armor gel with him. And he basically downed a tube of armor gel, and he's like, 4 hours later, my food poisoning was gone, basically. So it's I'm telling you, man, it's a great product to have. It's not toxic. You can eat it. It has a good shelf life on it. I'm going to go on my Appalachian Trail hike here in a couple months. And for my medical kit, that's probably the only thing that I'll take with me. Like, if I get cut, burned, scraped, anything like that, like, I put that on and I don't have to worry about it. I'll take that and probably a rubber band for a makeshift tourniquet or something like that. Something. But truly, I really don't travel without a tube of that on me at all times.
That is absolutely amazing. I'll have to look into that. It's armor gel, right? Because I have a few years ago, I had a blood infection, and it led to my a liver issue now. And I have to be careful when I get cut, scrapes, and stuff, because I'm prone to infections and whatnot.
Look, I've had guys at the gym. I've given some of the guys at my gym samples of this stuff, and they've used it on, like, things like athlete's foot, or, I mean, I've even had people that have had, like, eczema or something like that have had really good results with it. It's great for post-surgery. Like, I know it's an amazing scar cream for, like, to help, like, if you've, like, had a cut or something like that. Like, when you put it on your cut, you keep applying it on the scar, and it really just minimizes the scar, truly.
Wow.
Yeah.
I will definitely check it out then, because it sounds like it's something that will work good for me.
Yeah, don't forget, like, this is a gel that's designed for cuts, but I've used it for so many different things. Like, when somebody comes to me and they're like, man, I got this, you know, like, hey, I got poison ivy. I'm like, did you try rubbing armor gel on it? And they're like, I didn't even think about that. I don't know if it'll work or not, but it's worked on so many things that I otherwise wouldn't have thought that it would work on, that my first answer to everything is, like, I'll put armor gel on it and just see if that works first. So,
right on.
It's some good stuff, man.
Anytime I get, like, a cut or a scrape or whatever, I have to, like, really wash it and clean it and keep an eye on it, because I get infections really easy, so.
Oh, dude, this product is perfect for you, Dan. It's seriously perfect.
I will check it out for sure.
Yeah, man. Cool.
What's the website? Is there a website?
You can go to my website, richfranklin.com, and I have a link to it on there that gives you kind of, like, some information, probably, like, most of what I just told you. There's actually a link to buy it on there, but if you're interested in purchasing the product, you can, like, probably the easiest place to get it is Amazon.
Okay. Amazon.
And the company that makes the product, like, they mine their own silver and everything. And it's just, they're a good company, man. And I'm always looking for, like, methods of, like, taking care of myself without having to use, like, medicines and stuff like that. I'll give you a most recent example. I just had surgery on my septum to get my septum fixed, because it's been crushed the last, whatever, 10 years of my life. And so I had surgery on my septum, and the doctors wanted me to take antibiotics at post-surgery to make sure that I didn't get any kind of infection or anything like that. Well, I'm a huge, huge, huge anti-antibiotic guy. Like, I refuse to take antibiotics unless my life is on the line. So what I did basically to keep the cuts inside of my nose from getting infected was The day after surgery, the gel, I would take the gel and I would wipe it like on the bottom of my nose and all that, where like some incisions were made. But I have the liquid also, and I would squirt the liquid up in my nose so that the silver was hitting the open wounds, and just sprayed it on my cuts so that I didn't get infected. And I didn't take any of my antibiotics that were prescribed for me. And that's what I did instead. Because I'm just, like I said, I'm always looking for like a holistic way of taking care of things if it's possible. So, yeah.
All right, man. That's pretty damn awesome. I like the fact that you could use it inside of your body as well.
Yep.
Because they're usually really weird about that kind of stuff. Like Neosporin you can't put on your lips, or suddenly it feels like your lips are exploding.
Yeah. Look, I'm telling you, man, this stuff, like, and it's, since it's a water base, like, you can wipe it on your skin, and it'll have, like, kind of a cool feeling to it. Not like an icy hot kind of that cool, but not like a menthol cool, but more like a, just like your skin got wet. But 2 minutes after you put this stuff on, you can't even tell that you put it on. Like, it's just, it's completely rubs into the skin because it's water based. It doesn't have that, like, greasy petroleum feel to it or anything like that. But, I mean, honestly, like, the clinical trials, I've seen the studies that they've done on this thing, and they took clinical trials and basically tested it against other products, and I won't say what other products, but some products that are pharmaceutical grade. And if you saw the rate at which this stuff killed bacteria, comparatively speaking, to the medicines that you would put in your body, you would never buy those products again.
Yeah. It's like watching those shows on how they make bologna. You're like, what the hell?
Yeah,
you don't want to see that.
but I, at this point in time, I feel like an infomercial because I need the one person to be like, is that all it does? And I'm like, no, Dan, there's more. You know, I swear to you, man. Like, this is one of those things. Like, it's a really good product, man. It's a really, really good product.
Right on.
That's funny you said that.
Yeah, that is funny.
All right, well, that's our show, ladies and gentlemen. Rich, we want to thank you for coming on, being a good friend of the show. You know, you are welcome anytime. You want to plug Armor Gel, if you want to plug 1FC fights coming up, if you want to give us 1FC fighters to come on the show, we're more than willing to accommodate you. That's pretty much it. We'll see you guys next time. Rich, thank you very much for coming on, and we'll see you all soon.
Hey, thanks, brother.